All right. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Last week, we spent some time looking at some things regarding being led by the Spirit. We began in verse 16. I'm going to pick it up today in verse 18. Or I'm sorry, verse 19, regarding the works of the flesh. But before I read what we're going to look at today, just by way of reminder, last week we opened with being led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And therein lies a promise. Being led by the Spirit, walking by that Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In verse 17, it says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." There you have the conflict, and that is the conflict that all of us live. We live it every day. And then the next verse. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And I wanted to point this out because the way in which we are going to do what we do, overcoming those desires, those habits of the flesh, is going to be by Spirit and by the grace of God. Beginning in chapter 1, there has been great focus on grace versus law, grace versus legalism, and the two cannot exist together. And the reason I bring this up is because we will succeed and grow not by law, not by rules, not by willpower, but it's going to be by the grace of God, and it's going to be by way of the Spirit of God. And that is so, it's simple, but it is so crucial and critical to understand. It really is. All right, I'm going to begin reading here the section that we're going to look at, and then we'll sort of get into it. All right? Beginning in verse 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions." I'm getting depressed. "Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." I feel better now. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right? I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the word that you've given to us. And I pray that as we get into this, that you open our eyes, open our hearts, and cause understanding to come to pass, Father. What an amazing truth it is to know that as we delve into your word, that you are with us. Thank you, Father, for this. For your great love to each one of us. And how it's been demonstrated in the giving of your Son on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we truly serve others from a motive of love and reverence for God and our Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we're going to begin to demonstrate that we've truly been set free from self, from sin, from the rudimentary principles of the world and how the world works. If my overcoming, whatever it is that I am facing in my life, is due to my strength or my willpower, my courage, sooner or later, and probably sooner than later, I'm going to meet my match. And what we see being laid out so wonderfully, so beautifully, is that God, by His grace, has placed His Spirit within us so that we could begin to experience what He meant humanity to look like. And that's life with Him. There are a number of things, and we'll get into it as we get into this stuff. The flesh, it is a word meaning, the man's sinful nature. It is the inclinations of human nature estranged from God, is a good way to understand it. It's the inclinations of the flesh or of mankind apart from God. Last week I mentioned, before we get into some of these things, that there are times where it'll feel futile, with great difficulty that we approach perhaps certain things that we're dealing with in our lives. And things that are necessary in those situations or in those scenarios is, number one, prayer. Number two, keeping the hope in mind and living in light of that hope. The reality of the kingdom that is coming will greatly affect our lives now and our thinking now. Because our reward is then, and it's living in light of that hope. One of the things that causes a lot of trouble or anxiety for people are the expectations of what this life should be. And many times the expectations of what this life should be are greatly influenced by worldly thinking. And many times without even realizing it. I've seen this many times. I've seen it in my own life, where my thinking has been influenced by the world. And all of a sudden I see it and I just, oh my gosh, that's not right. And it's, you know, it's an enlightening thing. It's a little troubling sometimes to see that. Okay. But our need of reliance on God is real. It really is. Because there is a lot of noise, a lot of ideas, a lot of perspectives that do influence us. And the last thing I think I mentioned last week was the need to have others that are also standing on God's word. You know, that fellowshipping together and availing yourself of that. You know, I think I read the verse from James, confessing your sins one to another. And the idea there is, look, we're all in this together. And you know, the idea that what we should be projecting is some kind of spiritual perfection is oftentimes rooted in the flesh. Because I want people to think a certain way about me or to see me in a certain light. Or I have determined that I need to be a certain way because of who or what I am. But what God is after is a true relationship with Him. That's what He's after. That's what He wants. He wants our hearts. Okay. So, with these things in mind, we're going to get into some of these things. As a reminder again, flesh is referring to the sinful or the fallen nature and its natural tendencies and inclinations toward self. Self-gratification, self-importance. This would also include the worldly or the carnal habit patterns in which we were held. The flesh expresses, again, human nature estranged from God. Okay. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. And I want to, just for a moment here, point out that it is works that are attributed to the flesh. Later on, we'll see it is fruit that is attributed to the Spirit. Something else to take note of is works is plural, whereas fruit is singular. Oftentimes, when people talk about or get into the fruit of the Spirit, you know, what brings you joy? What brings you this? What? The truth is, it is singular. It isn't that all of a sudden I have joy and then next is this. No, it is the fruit of my being led and walking by Spirit. I am not pursuing joy. This, and I'm going to bring this up again. This is very important to understand. I'm not pursuing joy. I'm pursuing my God. The byproduct of that will be joy. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Very important to understand. So, works are attributed to the flesh, from which, if you remember, we have been freed, as we've read previously. I wanted to read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, the natural or the carnal. Romans 8, verse 12 reads this. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Okay? Verse 19 again, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Okay? Before we go on, these are actions listed that express the desire of the heart. And this is not an exhaustive list. You could understand this as these are the works of the flesh, for instance, okay, or for example, and then he's going to list. There are more, okay? So, there are actions expressing the desire of the heart. Several of these are in the mind, and that's important to understand. And perhaps never acted on. there is a verse in Romans. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. I want to point this out because we're reading a list of works of the flesh or actions that proceed from the flesh, but you know where they start? The heart, the mind. Okay. And as we go here, something else I want to point out is the Spirit of God, unlike the law, can change a heart. But it's going to take a decision on our part to pursue God, to pursue the Word of God, to pursue the things of the Spirit, to build these things into our heart, into our minds. Romans 12 speaks of, therefore, renew your mind. And as we read here, we see these things being listed, but also that conflict that is going on. God is spelling it out. Look, you've got these desires, but I've given you my Spirit. And I will work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. That's a promise. That's not conditional. I have to decide to walk in step with that leading. See? Yep. So it makes sense? Mm-hmm. This isn't an autopilot thing. Sexual immorality sort of covers everything. impurity. It's really, it's the opposite of pure. There's agendas. It's agenda driven. It's ulterior motives, that kind of thing. Sensuality. This is translated from a word. Boy, we see this in our culture today, don't we? But you know what? Paul saw it in his too. This is kind of in-your-face sin. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. It's a flaunting of your rebellion. It's a flaunting of these things. Verse 20 then reads, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Wow. Idolatry. The worship of anything other than the true God. You know, our hearts are basically idol factories. And it's a work of the flesh. We were made to worship God, and we will worship something. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but this idolatry and ESV translation as sorceries, I think in King James it's witchcraft, but these are works of the flesh in the category of worship in an attempt to fill that God-sized hole that all of us have. But anything outside of the true God will not satisfy. It just will not satisfy. The flesh is never satisfied. We got to get out of this. This is getting depressing. Enmities. It means hatreds. And these next that are listed I want to point out, these are works of the flesh against others. Earlier in chapter 5, what we've read is because we've been freed by Christ, we're to serve one another in love. Here, this word enmities, it's hatreds. It's the opposite. Okay. And hatred is a motive, just as love is a motive. See? We are in love to serve others. You know, just a little aside, I shared this yesterday at the men's breakfast. I was reading a study, and it was by a physiologist who has spent her career studying stress and the effects of stress on a body. And it was fascinating. And then she studied 90 different wellness programs done by, I guess, companies and things like that. And the thing that she saw was that almost in all cases, the typical advice is unsuccessful in helping the stress. Because the typical advice is to that individual to take care of themselves in one way or another. The only programs that were successful in fixing the physiological damage caused by stress were those that were designed to get them serving others. Charity, volunteering. And while it falls short of what we're reading here, I thought, boy, does that not speak to what God created us to be. That's why the self-help books, all of the self-help programs, all of the self, so often result in such frustration and comparing and disappointment. Something to think about. And really, it's one of those things our culture just pounds and revolves around. Okay. Let's go through some more of these qualities. Strife means to contentious or combative. Jealousy. I think everybody knows what jealousy is. Fits of anger. Bad temper, uncontrolled anger, that kind of thing. Rivalries is from a word that means selfish ambition. This is the word that's used in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Isn't that beautiful? Dissensions. It means to cause people to separate or to fly apart. It's translated divisions in Romans 16. To watch those or watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. The word divisions, it's kind of an interesting word. I'm not going to take a lot of time with it, but it's the word we get heresies from. We understand heresies as wrong thinking, but that its meaning at the time, it was a causing a division over opinions. Isn't that something? Factions, factious. Sort of a simple meaning. It is the difference, a way to illustrate this is, this might help. It's the difference between I am right and everybody else is wrong. That's sort of this word. And then it reads in verse 21, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. This word do is, it's a word that means to practice. It is who they are. This isn't referring to a lapse. This is who somebody is. This is their practice. Okay. That makes sense. First, let me read this, and then I'm going to come back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Beginning in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you were sanctified, You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because you will never do those things again. It's not what it says. It says, by the Spirit of the living God. See? We had the Spirit of God born within. You may have, and I've seen this many times over the years, you know, somebody who has had to deal with something in their lives, and they lapse, and this is not what this is talking about. That's it. You're no longer saved. That's, and I bring that up because that is how this verse is handled. And that is not true. It is really thinking little of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is thinking little of his words when he says, no one plucks them out of my hand. That means you. Okay. So I wanted to be clear on that. But as we read these things, it really shows the qualities of the fallen nature of man, of the flesh, and the absolute inability for man to save himself. The absolute inability for man to rely on himself. See? And when I begin to see these things and see what the works of the flesh really are and what the fallen nature of man really is, do you see how much bigger grace starts to get? The grace of God? That he would do this for me? That he would save me? That he would give me life? Eternal life? That he would work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure? That he would give me his spirit that cries, Abba, Father? Put in me the desires to want to walk with him? And you begin to understand, and that verse becomes very clear where it says, grace, the grace of God, teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's like all of a sudden, when I begin to see God's goodness and God's grace and what he's done and what Jesus Christ went through and the sick things he had to face on my behalf after having walked perfectly with God, the perfect human being, the second Adam, the last Adam. I think to myself, geez. That's a God I want to serve. But I don't know how. So I need help. That's where prayer comes in. Okay. He's already promised me eternal life. I look forward to that. But in the meantime, I pray. And I seek out others who are in this same boat as I am. He has given us all things, it says in Peter, that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay. I wrote this down. We must understand that we are not defined by what we've done. We are defined by what Christ did. Now we get to verse 22. Hallelujah. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Isn't that beautiful? Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Again, fruit is singular. And it's what's attributed to spirit. These things are harmonious and form one fruit. The works of the flesh are anything but harmonious. It's our keeping in step with Holy Spirit that produces fruit. Again, it's not pursuit of the fruit. Nor is it the fruit of good works. These are in tremendous contrast to the works of the flesh. At best, law simply keeps one from sinning. The Spirit also keeps one from sinning, but it doesn't stop there. It affects change in the heart itself. Isn't that beautiful? And it produces fruit. And this is fruit that emulates the characteristics of God, thereby bringing glory to Him. This fruit is something that the Spirit of God brings about. It is your being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, that brings this fruit about. It will simply be produced. It will be seen. There's just something about you. This is the transforming power of Holy Spirit. And that's what's seen. That's what fruit of the Spirit is. Where it can take a life that's, you know, full of defeat or full of anger, full of hatred, and turn it around. Like, say, Paul. Right? The fruit of the Spirit require no law, for they are a blessing to life, family, and pointing others to Christ. Then it says in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I'm sorry, I didn't read verse 23, did I? Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. There has to be law against the works of the flesh, to control the works of the flesh because of the damage they do to society, to families, and to one's own life. Ultimately, the works of the flesh destroy a person. Being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, leads toward a life that God intended us to live, a life with Him. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Chapter 2, verse 20 reads this, if you remember in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. This is the heart change that the law could not do, with its passions and desires. As we grow, that heart begins to change, and our desires begin to change. And we get to the place where it says in the Psalms, He grants the desires of my heart. Okay. because my desires line up with His. My desires line up with my Lord Jesus Christ. My desires line up now with who I really am, what I've been made in Christ. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is noteworthy in that it is plural. Let's do this. That's what he's saying to the Galatians. If we, here we are. Here we are. Let's do this. Let's do this together. Let us. If we live in the Spirit, which we do, because we're born again, we have Christ in us, we have the Spirit of God, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We advance together. Isn't that wonderful? We grow together. Now, we may be at different places in our lives, we're different stages of that growth, but we're in it together. We're moving forward. Philippians, Paul writes it this way, I press toward the mark. I haven't arrived yet, but I what? I'm still pressing. See? That's what we do. That's what we want our lives to look like. That's what we want our church to look like. And then it closes on this up note. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Our lives as Christians, rather than being marked by striving in the flesh to not commit sin, are marked by a striving to walk by the Spirit of our God. Being strong in grace and acknowledging our inability to do this on our own. Isn't that beautiful? This is what God's called us to. And it is by His grace and by His Spirit that we can do these things. And our lives will emulate that relationship with God. We will bear that fruit as we pursue walking by the Spirit. And it's fruit that will be seen. And that fruit will lead others to Christ. See? So, amen? Amen.